May the Lord help us to commence our services today with hymn 136. 136. Dear refuge of my weary soul, on thee when sorrows rise, on thee when waves of trouble roll, my fainting hope relies. Hymn 136.
Thank you. the holy word of God. We'll read together the gospel according to Mark, chapter 5. The gospel according to Mark, chapter 5. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains he had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine and fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed, and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. and Jesus went with him. And much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest a multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me?" And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague." While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth a tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, "Why make ye this ado, and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, "Talitha cumi," which is being interpreted, "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise." And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. May God bless that reading from his holy word to us. May he help us in prayer. Most kind and merciful and gracious and eternal Lord God in heaven, we come before thee this Lord's Day morning to worship thee. We pray thy help here this day as we meet for worship. We pray, Lord, that thou grant us thy help. Grant us the sense of thy presence here. May it be Jesus himself stood in the midst. Lord, we pray thy mercy. We pray that thou grant us thy divine favour, that thou visit us this day, that the word read and preached may be made life, light and liberty to us. We pray that thou grant the power of the Holy Spirit and apply thy own word. And we pray, Lord, that our hearts might be prepared, that the things that we have passed through this week and up to this point in time may prepare us for the word this day. And pray, Lord, that thy word may be suited to meet each case. Lord, we pray that it may prove to be one of thy appointments. Lord, we thank thee for thy goodness and thy mercy. Thou hast gathered us here in this house of prayer. Lord, we thank thee for this Lord's Day, for this opportunity to come and gather ourselves around thy word. We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast granted us a desire to be here. And we pray, Lord, that it may be the case with each. Lord, maybe there are those that have come out of duty, out of love to parents, maybe out of routine. But oh, we pray, Lord, that thou put that desire in, that there may be that willingness, that longing, that pressing desire to come into thy house and to hear thy word. We remember those in our prayer, Lord, who are unable to be here this day. And Lord, we pray for any that are listening in, that they, Lord, may feel at one with us. And Lord, that they may feel that uniting of their worship with ours. And Lord, that thou bless them with the same blessings that we seek for us here, that they may feel thy presence and thy divine favour to be upon them, though they are unable to gather in this house of prayer. And so we thank thee, Lord, for the facility, Lord, that there is that possibility to listen into the worship here. And we do thank thee, Lord, for the live stream. And we thank thee, Lord, for thy blessing upon it. Lord, thou art sovereign and almighty and gracious. And in these things, Lord, many have proved thy special care toward them. And so we would praise thee and worship thee and pray that thy word may have free course and be glorified this day, both here and in all the gatherings of thy people. Lord, we think of the ones and twos who are scattered throughout the earth. Lord, thou knowest the need of thy people. And we pray, Lord, that thou bless the worship of thy great and holy name this Lord's Day. Lord, do look upon us in thy mercy, in our nation. Lord, we have many things that cause us concern, many things that trouble us in our nation and in the world around. Lord, there are those that have suffered greatly in the earthquake in Turkey and Syria. And there are others, Lord, that are suffering in other parts of the earth. We've had that reminder of the anniversary of the war commencing in the Ukraine. And Lord, we pray that thou grant a lasting peace. Lord, we pray that thou bring an end to war and bring an end to bloodshed. And Lord, we pray that thy blessing might be known amongst all the sorrow and the distress. Oh Lord, we pray for those that are persecuted for the truth's sake. Lord, may our prayers concerning this not be just a formality. Lord, we earnestly desire that thy persecuted people might be granted that liberty and freedom to worship. Lord, we pray that thou would send them that special help in that time of need, that they may hold fast, that they may stand firm in these buffetings and in these assaults of the enemy of souls. And pray, Lord, that thou grant that they may shine as lights, shining in this dark and evil world. Lord, we do thank thee for the freedom that we have. Lord, we meet, we do not fear to meet. We are not attacked as we come into this house of prayer. Lord, we are not persecuted in that way. And for this we thank thee. Lord, it is only because of thy restraining hand that we have these favours and privileges. Take not thy Holy Spirit from us. Lord, ever spare us these liberties. But Lord, we pray that we may have liberty in our worship. Lord, we pray that as we have the freedom to worship, we may have the freedom from the power of sin and Satan in our hearts, that our hearts and our minds might be set at liberty, that we may be found worshipping in that true liberty of the gospel. And pray, Lord, that thou wilt grant us each that gift of true living faith in Jesus Christ. And pray, Lord, that thou wilt increase our faith and, Lord, our knowledge and our love. May the love of God be shed abroad in each heart by the Holy Spirit. We pray that thou grant us each that knowledge of the love of God toward us personally, particularly. Lord, we pray that we may know our hearts responding in love and prove the truth of that word. We love him because he first loved us. So, Lord, may there be the love of God poured out here among this people. May the love of Christ constrain those in the congregation to join the church here, we pray. Oh Lord, we do pray that thou bind the church together in the bond of love and peace. Lord, we do pray that they may be that esteeming other better than themselves, that bearing one another's burdens, so fulfilling the law of Christ. We pray, Lord, that thou would teach and guide and instruct thy people in the way. And grant, Lord, that there may be that growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Lord, we confess that we are fools and slow of heart to believe. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt reveal thyself, make known thyself, manifest thyself unto us as thou dost not unto the world. And so may Christ be revealed and made precious to us each. Oh, may that desire be in our hearts. I could from all things parted be, but never, never, Lord, from thee. Separate us, Lord, from our idols. Set us apart from the rest of the world. O Lord, do deliver us from all evil and save us each with that everlasting salvation. O Lord, have mercy upon us then, we pray. Bless the children, be with them. Lord, do put thy spirit within them. May they be born again of the spirit of the Lord while they are still young. Oh, it is good as a man bear the yoke in his youth. Lord, we pray that thou would guide them into the truth as it is in Jesus. And Lord, do guide them away from the many pleasures of sin that abound in our day and generation. Lord, do keep her, keep them and keep us each by thy grace. So, Lord, do remember each with their particular cares and burdens, afflictions. Lord, the care of loved ones, the burden and concern of loved ones. Lord, the list goes on. We cannot name every case. Each heart knows its own bitterness. Each heart has its own cares and concerns. Lord, may we be found casting all our care upon him, for he careth for you. Lord, do grant us then that access. Draw us to thy feet. May we touch the hem of thy garment. May some healing virtue flow even this day. May the peace, the pardon, may that flow like a river into our hearts. May the cleansing blood of our Lord Jesus Christ wash over each soul, sweeping away all the corruptions of our fallen nature and cleansing us from all our actual sin. Lord, do work then and create in each of us a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. We pray these things. Oh Lord, we pray for any who have sought thee long and still wait and knock at mercy's door. Lord, may there be those encouragements. Oh, Lord, may there be the opening of thy door of mercy. And may there be an entering in into that gospel liberty. Oh, so help us, Lord, we pray. We ask great things, but thou art a great God, the great and almighty Lord God of heaven and earth. And Lord, there is nothing too hard for thee. Oh, then come and soften each hard heart, meet each hard case, and answer each hard question. We humbly pray. Lord, we ask these things. We ask in Jesus' precious name and for his sake alone. Amen.
Hymn 627, 627. Poor sinner, dejected with fear, unbosom thy mind to the Lamb. No wrath on his brow he does wear, nor will he poor mourners condemn. His arm of omnipotent grace is able and willing to save. A sweet and a permanent peace he'll freely and faithfully give. Hymn 627.
Thank you.
turn with me to the chapter we read, the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 5. With the Lord's help this morning, I'll speak to you from verse 36. The Gospel according to Mark, chapter 5, verse 36. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. The Gospel according to Mark, chapter 5, and the 36th verse. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. This is a well-known account of Jairus' daughter. And friends, it's really struck me in considering this verse and the context of the verse, the divine purposes of God, at times the mystery of divine purposes. You know, there was this man, he came, didn't he? He came with a great burden. His 12-year-old daughter, we're told, was at the point of death. He comes, he falls at the feet of Jesus and besought him, he said, greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live. He came in faith, didn't he? He believed that the Lord could heal his daughter. If he would come and lay his hands on, he says, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And she shall live. And we see, don't we, the compassion of the Lord. He's touched with the man's case. Jesus, we're told, went with him. And then there's this delay. And there's this woman that comes in the great throng and touches the hem of his garment. And the Lord Jesus stops. And the time is taken to call her out from the crowd and to publicly declare and set forth the vital truth of living faith placed and centered in Jesus Christ. And all the while, the time slips by. Oh, the mystery of it. Oh, this man was anxious, was troubled. He was greatly burdened. His daughter, when he left, was at the point of death. And then what do we find? The Lord Jesus says, Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and behold of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. that which he feared, that which was a great fear for him, that which he thought the Lord would prevent, has taken place, has become a reality. Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? What's the point? Why bother? Oh, there's no need to come. There's no need for the Lord Jesus to come. There's no need to bring him any further on his journey. It's too late. She's dead. You know, friends, these are difficult times, aren't they? When that which was seemingly great and almost impossible becomes impossible. Well, these are difficult times. When one has ventured in faith, when one has sought the help of the Lord Jesus, and it all seems to be too late, it all seems to be in vain. When one has ventured with some faith, with some hope, with some trust, and then everything seems to be dashed, and everything seems to come to nothing. This is hard. These things are very hard. You know, there are those times when things seem to be impossible, and yet the Lord has ordered them to be so. When, like the children of Israel, you come to the River Jordan to cross it, and what was an impossibility is made even more impossible, if you can even use such an expression, because you find Jordan's overflowing its banks, and it's just seems too much. You know, driving over here this morning, my wife rang me and she reminded me that this Lord's Day 2 years ago, I was lying in a hospital bed, and the impossible had come upon me, and you know, I hadn't connected it with this word that I feel laid on me to bring here this morning. But this was one of the words at that time that the Lord spoke into my heart. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. Only believe. You know, it is a twofold thing in this word this morning. Be not afraid. There is fear, isn't there? Jairus had fear. Oh, the how his heart must have been filled with sorrow, sadness, bewilderment, confusion, disappointment. I mean, you can go on with the list of of expressions that could be used. And you know, we do have our fears. You have your fears, don't you? Fear at times is a good thing. You know, some people are afraid of heights. There are things that we're afraid of which without it we would be in jeopardy. We'd put ourselves in danger. But there is in natural things a fear. It guards us against making irrational responses or doing things that are unwise. There is fear given so that we might walk carefully, behave cautiously, and act responsibly in a world which is full of danger, natural dangers. The Lord says here to Jairus, be not afraid. Be not afraid. Oh, be not overcome with fear. The Lord Jesus is, in a way, immediately responding to that sudden and distressing news that has come. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken unto to Jairus, that there is an immediate response from him. Be not afraid. Oh, what a precious thing. Or may it be you and I, we prove what these times are like. We know something of it. We know what it is for the Lord to speak a word of comfort, a word of encouragement. Be not afraid. You know, there are well-meaning friends and family that will try and encourage. And they mean well. And sometimes there is some encouragement received by their well-intended, well-meant words. You know, there's nothing that can compare to the Lord speaking. Oh, well, and I know, I'm sure, I'm persuaded that some of you know this. Maybe you've come into the house of God and you've come in and you've had great fear. And maybe the things that you feared would come, have come. The things that you feared might come to pass have come to pass. And you've come in and there are things that you prayed wouldn't. And you felt in your prayer some measure of comfort that the Lord had heard. And you felt some confidence and some hope that he would resolve the matter. He would bring to pass that which you long for. And then these things have so fallen out that it seems to leave you bewildered. And then you begin questioning. Well, if I wasn't right on this, and if I was misled in my feelings on this, or if I was I had my heart leaning, persuaded that something might not happen and it's happened, what about greater things? What about my hope of heaven? What about the confidence that I have in trusting, hoping in his sacrifice, the forgiveness of my sin. If in this thing in Providence has unraveled and I'm mistaken, am I mistaken concerning my soul? Have I snatched promises from the Word of God not intended for me? Oh, friends, what a spiral we can get caught up in, can't we? Like that whirlwind spinning us round and round, how soon we can spiral down and seem to lose our way. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. My mind went to that hymn. Be ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. Hymn 320. The clouds ye so much dread. Oh, is there a cloud hanging over you and me this morning? A cloud of doubt, a cloud of fear, a cloud which is, oh, like an unanswered prayer, a prayer answered in a way that you didn't think. You thought it was yes, it seems to be no, but what is it? Oh, a cloud which has seemed to plunge you into darkness. You felt some light. You felt some liberty to come to him in prayer. You felt a little confidence in praying in the name of Jesus. And now, oh, this great big cloud has cut off all the light and seems to take away your hope. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread, you know the Lord is in it. Oh, the Lord was in it for Jairus. For Jairus, he was ordering all things according to his divine purposes. Yes, they were mysterious. Yes, he couldn't trace it out. Yes, he couldn't work it out. He couldn't fathom how it might be resolved. The Lord was working. And there's a divine and blessed order. And the Lord, he walks and he works his purposes. The Lord Jesus, every step was purposed, was ordered, wasn't it? And the woman who came and her intervention and the delay, that was ordered. And it was ordered for the good of Jairus. It wasn't to take his faith, the faith that he had in his coming, and dash it to pieces, and remove it, and destroy it. It was the opposite purpose. The Lord had a purpose. He had an intended outcome, and it was to increase the faith of this man. And when faith increases, we find that fear decreases. Be not afraid. Oh, fear decreases when our faith in God increases. Irrespective of whether the matter in question it has been resolved, but when faith is in exercise. When the Lord is working, when there is these encouragements, be not afraid. When the Lord whispers peace, when he whispers these words of encouragement into a troubled soul, the effect is that fear subsides, that fear decreases, and their hope and their trust and their belief in Jesus Christ, in the Word of God, the promises of God, in their faith increases. Be not afraid. You know, it would seem clear in the testimony of those that came from Jairus' house. It seemed that at the death of Jairus' daughter, that the hope of anything being done was over. That there was a limiting, if we might say, of the Holy One of Israel. That there was prospect of hope while there was life. Prospect of a recovery, prospect of an answer while there was life. Now there was death, there was no hope. Is that your religion and mine? Is that our hope? We've worked out how the Lord can answer what the problem we have this morning. We've worked it all out. And then when our workings out come to an end and a dead stop, that's where our hope ends, is it? Is that where you come to an abrupt stop when you've run out of ideas? Oh, it is at times, isn't it? Oh, we've worked out how it can be resolved. We've prayed the Lord will resolve it. At times we've even told him how to do it. And then it comes to an abrupt stop when our plans are brought to an end. Thy daughter is dead. Why trouble the master any further? Oh, he's a great healer. But he's not that great. Oh, he can do great things. He can do great wonders. But he can't do it. He's not that great. No, he can do hard things, but this is impossible. Why trouble him any further? Give up. It's over. Jairus, come home. Bury your daughter. It's finished. The Lord Jesus said, no. No, it isn't. Be not afraid. And yes, they're going to laugh. They're going to laugh me to scorn. And they're going to ridicule. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. Only believe. Only believe. Another hymn on my mind connected with this. The darkest cloud, hope pierces through and waits upon the Lord, hymn 244. Expects to prove that all is true throughout the sacred word. That's hope, isn't it? Hope thou in God, for my expectation is from him. True hope looks out for blessings great, and though they're long delayed, yet hope's determined still to wait until they are conveyed. Be not afraid. You know, are you afraid to believe? What a question. Are you afraid to believe? Satan will make us afraid to believe at times. What do I mean? Well, he'll tell you that you're going to look silly. That when what you've believed will come to pass, doesn't. Oh, he makes us afraid. Afraid to bring the impossible things to him. He fills our hearts with an anticipated answer. He'll tell us it's better not to come with that impossible thing, but because, the disappointment and the ridicule when it's not given, it's not answered, it's not according to what you desire. The Lord Jesus said, be not afraid to Jairus. Yes, it seems impossible. But with God, nothing should be called impossible. Nothing should be called impossible. Oh, the power of Almighty God. Thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring. For his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much. Oh, are you afraid to come with your impossible thing? Satan stopped your mouth. No, he stopped you. You've come so far. And you were led to pray up to a point. But now it seems the door is shut. Is that it? Are you afraid? Are you afraid to come to the feet of Jesus? To try what your poor prayers can do? When the Lord blesses you with a little promise from his word, don't you find at times Satan will come in and tell you, well, that's for others. He can't deny it's there. He can't deny it's true. But what he does is he stands between you and it. And he says it's not for you. That's for others. When they're made known to you, when you've read them, when you've heard them, he stands in the way and says, no, not for you. That's for his people. That's for them that love God. All things work together for good. He says, yes, but that's to them that love God. To them that are the called according to his purpose. And you're not called. Be not afraid. Only believe. Malachi, coming to the close of the Old Testament, Malachi writes in chapter 3, verse 6, "For I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." Sons of Jacob. Oh, those sons of Jacob, they're not consumed. The God of Jacob. Oh, the one who had his plans and his schemes. The God of Jacob. Oh, I change not. An unchangeable, faithful friend. Oh, that one that sticketh closer than a brother, that loveth at all times. Hath he not said? Shall he not do it? Job says, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Job chapter 14. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Yes, not among the sons of men. Can he bring a clean thing out of you? Oh, those of you, it's not a providential thing this morning. It's not a temporal thing in your life. It's soul trouble. Oh, it's the matter of your sin and the condemnation and guilt that you feel. Your sinnership. And oh, the desire of a clear evidence that you're born again, that you're numbered among his children. And at times you've known a little going out in your heart. Then something's worked, something's appeared, something's arisen. One of these things has been, by the purpose of God, brought in, and it seems to have almost cut you off. It's come right across your path. It seems to be quenching any hope that you might have had. Oh, there's that need to be found walking by faith, not by sight. You thought you were well taught, maybe. You've a little more to learn. You thought you were low at his feet. You've got to come a little lower. You thought you were empty. There's still a little more to be emptied from you. You thought you were trusting wholly, but still there was a little leaning to your own self and your own understanding. This is what the Lord is doing. It's bringing you to what seems nothing. Why? I'll tell you why. That he might be everything. That he might be your all and in all. That he might be the altogether lovely one. Not just the lovely one. That he might be altogether lovely. That he might be made exceeding precious to your soul. That you might see yourself as nothing. That you might see him as everything. Friends, be not afraid. this word only, maybe it's a trouble to you. You say, if only. Oh, could I but believe, then all would easy be. Oh, if only. But the point of it is this. It is the only thing that you must do. Everything else you must lay aside. One thing needful. One thing needful. Only believe. That was Jairus. That was his the word of exhortation. The word of encouragement. Continue believing, Jairus. And only believe, Jairus. And don't look and don't listen to anything else. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. Only believe. Only believe. Oh, that essential thing for a believer. And to leave the rest in the hands of a gracious, loving, heavenly friend. And trust him in the storm, in the cloud, in the darkness. Standing fast. Holding fast that which you have heard, you have proved. Only believe. Oh, the blessings that God has for the believer. Oh, may the Lord make you and I true believers. Oh, may you and I know what it is to see our fears subside. To see the waves and storms made a great calm at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says to Jairus, be not afraid, only believe. You might use an expression, dare to dream. The psalmist says, we were like them that dreamed. Then was our mouth filled with laughter. Oh, the peace, the comfort, the encouragement. Oh, that which you've hoped for, longed for, sought for in prayer. He says, be not afraid. Oh, it will come. The time of love will come. Oh, that time will come. And you'll clearly see not only that he shed his blood, but each shall say, for me. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Amen.
God willing, Sunday school will be in the vestry at 2:30 this afternoon, and all the children and young people will come to receive their prizes. God willing, Mr. Parrish is again expected to preach on Tuesday evening and next Lord's Day. And next Lord's Day, he'll minister the Lord's Supper after the evening service. And he also hopes to address the Sunday school again. And our friends at Oakington hold a TBS meeting next Wednesday with an address by Mr. Graham Tutor. Let us close with hymn 1107. When some sweet promise warms our heart and cheers us under every care, it is the great Spirit's gracious part to take that word and fix it there. Hymn 1107.
Thank you.
now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.